Like to say again, I'm thankful to be here today and thankful for all of you that are here. And I want to again today try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to begin by calling your attention to the 34th Psalm. If you would turn in your Bibles there to Psalm 34. And my scripture reading today will be the first 8 verses of that psalm. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. So let's read together, beginning with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I want to stop reading there. Having read, again, the first 8 verses of Psalm 34 for a scripture reading. And what I would like to share with you today, and I do ask a great interest in your prayers, I would like to use the title today, that God is good and that he does good things. Now, here in this psalm, in the last verse that I read, verse 8, the psalmist here made the statement that the Lord is good. And we try as human beings in our lives from time to time, we try to glorify the Lord with our mouth, with our words. We try to express, how we feel about God. David seemed to have a very special gift in that way, because he wrote some beautiful things about the Lord. But even though the Bible tells us here in this 8th verse of Psalm 34 that the Lord is good, even though that was something that was written under divine inspiration, you think about it, what an understatement. I mean, we can't really express what God really is. We don't have the words. We don't have the vocabulary to do that. But certainly, he is good, and he does good things. Now, I want to say this, that God is not good because that he does good things. God does good things because he is good. And so, it only stands to reason that God, being who he is, being as good and perfect as he is, that he would do good and perfect things. And so I want you to think about that today, and not only to consider the general thought of God being good, but to reflect today upon the goodness that he has bestowed upon you personally. Now, there's something in this that the psalmist said, and I want to call your attention to it, but perhaps talk about it a little bit later. But he said in his exhortation there to experience God's goodness, the way that he put it in this particular verse was, "Taste, O taste, and see that the Lord is good." And so, if you would, keep that in mind, and if the Lord's willing, we'll talk about that just a little bit later on. But I want to share some scripture with you that is very, very similar to what we find recorded here in the 34th Psalm. And we find this said in Jeremiah chapter 33 in verse 11. It simply says, "Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good." You see, David was not the only one in the scriptures, in the writing of the Psalms. He was not the only one that believed and felt that the Lord was good. Jeremiah expressed that as well. "Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good." In the 135th Psalm, in verse 3, we find a statement made that's almost identical. Again, made by the psalmist, that's almost identical to what Jeremiah said. He said, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." And certainly men, as we find recorded also in the Psalms, certainly men ought to praise God for His goodness and for His mercy towards us. God is great, the Bible says, and greatly to be praised. He is worthy of that. He is deserving of that, that His creation would give Him thanks and would give Him praise for the things that He does for us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, or chapter 7 rather, in verse 3, we find something recorded there, and this was the account of when the temple had been built and Solomon had prayed the prayer of dedication, and the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. And this statement was made, "And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And so, you know, it has been expressed, and what I have shared with you up to this point is just a very small portion of the scriptures that tell us and express to us the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord and how that we are to praise Him for the things that He does. But as I said, not only is God good, but He does good things. And if we go back and we examine the first chapter of Genesis and we read about the creation, and we have in that first chapter a day-by-day breakdown of the 6 days of God's creation, when during those 6 days He created the heaven and the earth and all things that are therein. And we have a breakdown there in that first chapter of Genesis from day to day. And we find there, beginning with the first day, that as God created things in that very day, that the Bible says that God saw those things that He had made, and behold, they were good. And the only day, and I don't know why, but the only day that that's not mentioned is with the second day. But all the other days, that statement is made, that the things that God created, that He saw, that they were good. And in the sixth chapter, after that God had made all things and after that he had made man, when he had finished his creation, in the last verse of that first chapter of Genesis, it says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, as I said, that's not hard for us to understand, because certainly God, being who he is, when he created things, they would be things that would be good. Not bad things, but God created good things because he is such a good God. And so I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that God is good, and it also tells us in particular that he is good to Israel. He is good towards his people. And certainly the church, we are spiritual Israel, and God is good to us. Is he not good to us? Does he not bless us? You know, a lot of times I get this response from people. In fact, somebody told me this morning. A lot of times when I ask people how things are with them, they say, better than I deserve. And you know what? I believe that's right. I believe that's right. The goodness of God is something that we don't merit. We just simply don't deserve it. And if it were not for the fact that God is a God of grace, then we would not be able to experience God's goodness, because if it were not for grace, the only way we could experience his goodness would be to merit that, and we just simply can't do it, can we? So he blesses us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve his goodness. And thank God that he does. I thank him for the goodness that he has bestowed upon me in my life. A verse that that I quote a lot, two verses that I quote a lot, that I really like, are found in the first chapter of James in verses 16 and 17. James said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God bestows good gifts upon us. And the good things that come in our life, don't make the mistake. Don't err in this. That's what James was saying. Do not err in this. Believe this. Trust this. That every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. And don't ever give anybody any praise for those things other than him. Because he is the one from whom all goodness flows and is bestowed upon us in our lives. Now we can look at these things. We can look at these statements that we find recorded there in the first chapter of James. And we can apply those in a lot of different ways. We can look at what's said there about every good gift and every perfect gift that comes down from God. And we can apply that principle to the blessings, the temporal blessings of life that God bestows upon us from day to day. I think we ought to give God thanks that we have food on our table. We ought to give God thanks that we have clothes to wear. We ought to give him thanks that we have shoes on our feet. We ought to give God thanks that we have a place to dwell. We ought to thank him for all of his temporal blessings that he bestows upon our lives from day to day. Surely they are those good and perfect gifts that come from God. But don't we also know that there are things that God has blessed us with that far exceed the blessing of these temporal things? God has been good to us in that way, and he continues to be good to us in that way, but we have so much more than that to thank him for. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. The penalty that people must pay for sin is death. That's exactly what God told Adam in the garden when he gave him that one law. He said, if you break this, if you transgress my law, you're going to die because of it. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You shall become separated from me in the very moment, in the very day, should you choose to transgress my law, you will immediately experience separation from me. And that's the penalty for sinning against God. It always has, it was then, and it always has been. The wages of sin is death. But, boy, aren't you glad that there's more to that verse? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you know, we just came through a time of the year. We just came through a season where we traditionally, we give gifts to other people. We buy gifts and we give gifts to our children and we give gifts to parents and we exchange, Christmas gifts. And, when we give somebody a gift, we don't do that because we hate that person. We don't do that because we're trying to be evil towards that person. We give gifts because we are trying to be good to that person. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, which of you, if his son asks bread, is going to give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, is going to give him a serpent? He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts, good things unto you? And I know that I didn't quote that exactly, but that's the essence of what he said. You know, if you being human and being evil, being of a sinful nature that you are, and yet even you know how to do good towards your children, how much more do you think God is able to bestow his goodness upon his children? I'll tell you, he far exceeds us in the way that he takes care of his children. I believe there's some good parents here today. I believe there's some parents here today that love their children with all their heart and do the best that they can to take care of their children. But I'll tell you what, God, nobody ever has been as good to their children as God has. Oh, he blesses us in ways that nobody else ever could. I owe to God that which I don't owe to anybody else. I owe him praise that I don't owe to anybody else. I owe God praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor that God himself is only worthy of. Salvation. And we need to always remember this. Those of us who have already been saved and those of us who yet need to be saved, we need not ever forget that salvation is God's great gift. It's his gift. It's not something that we have because we deserve it. And you that are seeking for it, it's not something that you'll get because you deserve it. If you get saved, you'll get saved the same way that we did, by God's unmerited favor, by his grace. Salvation, the gift of God. And I want you to notice that the term gift there is singular. It doesn't use a plurality of gifts there. I believe that in that sixth chapter of Romans in verse 23, that it was referencing the greatest gift that can ever be received. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing better than that, is there? Nothing better than being saved. Don't you love to hear people testify of the time when God saved them? That's something I could listen to all day long. I could just sit and listen to my brothers and my sisters give testimony of how that God gave them the gift of eternal life. That's what it is. It's God's precious gift. In the 133rd Psalm, in verse 1, the psalmist said, "Behold," and I want you to think about the spiritual gifts that God has bestowed upon us. In the 133rd Psalm, in verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And you know, we better not take for granted our assemblies. The times that we have from week to week, you know, I'll tell you what, this is the bright spot of my week. I look forward to this day. I look forward to the time that we come together as God's people and we worship the Lord and we unite our hearts. You know, we have a kindred spirit among us that the world doesn't know anything about. They won't until they experience it. There's a relationship that exists between the people of God that doesn't even exist in natural families. It's even stronger than that. We are children of God. We are united under one God. Isn't that great? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'm telling you, friends, the gift of fellowship that we have with each other, we better not take it for granted, because it's a wonderful, I'll tell you, it's a gift. It's something that's bestowed upon us by the goodness of God that we can come together and we can feel, you know, that kindred spirit among us, and we know that we have the same thing. You know, I've told you before, I've been among people before that their testimony was, well, I was baptized in order to, you know, to be saved. I've been among people before that have told me that I had somebody one time, he was telling me about his salvation, and he was telling me about the preacher that saved him. Yeah. I mean, if you don't know it, there's people that believe that. There's people that believe that other men saved them. But you know what? I just can't relate. I can't relate to those things. But I can relate to an experience of salvation that somebody tells where they repented of their sins and placed their trust in the Lord and experienced what's recorded in the third chapter of John, where Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born in the Spirit." I'm telling you, my soul will lock up with that kind of testimony. I know that kind of fellowship. I'll tell you what, if you don't have something in here that's real, you better get it. You better just get rid of what you've had, what you got before that, and you better get something that's real. You better have a real experience with the Lord. If you don't, you're not going to make it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm thankful for God's gift of fellowship that we have with each other. I wish we would be more zealous in using it. I really do. I wish we'd take greater advantage of it. In the fourth proverb in verse 2, it says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God has given us wonderful truth, hasn't he? I mean, he really has. He's left his church with the truth, and it exists among us. And it has been preserved by his people down through the years, because I believe the people of God have understood the great gift that God bestowed upon us in leaving us his truth. David said, his word. Is this what it is to you? David said in the 119th Psalm in verse 105 concerning God's word that it's a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. Isn't it great? I'll tell you what, God is good to us. He's good to us in giving us his word. I love to read it, don't you? I love to get into God's word and see if I can figure out what the Lord is telling us and sharing with us. I'll tell you, there's never been anything documented that comes anywhere close. I don't know how many novels or stories or whatever you may have in your bookshelves, whatever you may read, but I'll tell you what, first and foremost, you ought to spend your time right here. This is the greatest thing you'll ever read. God, by his goodness, moved upon holy men and inspired them to write down these holy writings. Thank God today that he has given us good doctrine, that he's given us the truth. We have the truth, and we better thank God for it. We better thank him for it. God has blessed us throughout this year. He's been good to us, hasn't he, church? Been good to us. We've experienced the goodness of the Lord. But I want to, before I finish, I want to go back to what I said. The psalmist said, taste and see that he's good. Now my mind works very simply, and you all know that by now. I'm not very complex. But when I looked at that, I thought the first thought I had was what we do when we taste something. And you can have a big meal prepared, and it can be sitting out, and I mean that meal can really look good. It can look great. You can look at that and say, oh man, that food looks good. Don't you hear that a lot of times? Somebody walks in, maybe they walk into a bakery or something, and there's all that stuff in there, and they say, oh, that looks good. And it's putting off a very pleasant smell. And you hear that a lot of times said about food. Boy, that sure does smell good. But what's the real experience when you pick it up and taste it? That's when you really experience that. And, you know, I think about what the psalmist said there, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't only know that as a fact. Don't only know that the Bible does tell us that God is good and that he is to be praised, but we need to experience the goodness of God. We need to taste that for ourselves. We need to have an experience that really lets us know about the goodness of God. I'll tell you what, if it had not been for my experience of salvation, I wouldn't really know. I wouldn't really know personally how good that God is. I'd know about him. I could read the Bible, and I could know that the Bible says God's good, and I believe what the Bible says, but I'm thankful that I've tasted the good gift of God. That I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you're here and you're lost, that's what you need to do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience it. Let's have a song. Let's praise Him and let's thank Him for His goodness. And as He moves up on your heart, express it. If you need to express it, express it. Praise Him. Praise God for His wonderful works towards us. Give Him the glory that's due to His name. That's what we need to do.